the defund the police movement is the single dumbest movement that maybe America's ever had. The open border one might be challenging it for the worst policy ever. Open borders and defunding police are, and by the way, open borders and defunding police right around the same era might be the worst of the worst as a combination, right?
Welcome back to another Financial Guys podcast. I'm Mike Hayflick, along with my partner in separate studios this morning. As if you're watching, you might see that, but we are together in studio, Mike.
Just two studios, together in two.
Two studios. This studio isn't big enough for the two of us anymore, so we each get our own. I sound real vicious, don't I? Yeah. Man, I can really turn on the tough guy
the
angry Mike. Yeah, yes. You're angry Mike quite often though on Twitter.
I become that way only with politics though. I'm telling you, that's the only thing in my life that I get frustrated about, and it's just I don't know. It's getting more and more frustrating, Mike. We're going to talk about a couple issues today, but I mean, it's just, if it's not, you know, the squad hating America, it's you know, criminals not wanting to be arrested, or it's illegal aliens acting like they belong here. I mean, it's just, we're at a real crossroads right now everywhere.
Just think how inconvenient it is, though, for a criminal to actually then get taken into custody. Ugh. I mean, they've already gotten caught, Mike. Like, it's already inconveniencing their evening of looting or pushing people off subway platforms or
burning down McDonald's.
Burning down McDonald's. Yeah, yeah. Unprovoked punches against, whoever they wish to punch. Yeah. And then they have to get pulled into custody. My goodness, like, that just throws their whole week off. You know,
go to the holding center, actually, paid to get out bail. Oh, they don't do that. Never mind. Sorry about
they
that.
Don't they don't have to they, do that.
No, that's not true. Sorry about that.
So they don't need their debit cards. They don't need the checkbook. No. That makes it easier.
That's how
one less thing to do.
That's how ridiculous this really is. When you break this down, I mean, if you would have told me 10 years ago when I was a college kid, like, well, if I looted and stole a bunch of beer out of the local convenience store, that I would just, get a slap on the wrist and walk out. And then if I did it again the next day, I would just get another slap on the wrist and walk out. And then if I did it again 7 days in a row, I would just continue to get slap on there. I mean, we wonder why people don't change and why the criminal remains a criminal, because why would you change? There's no repercussions to stealing things. I mean, it's common sense.
It is, but that's not common these days. We're actually going to hear from a conservative Canadian who actually uses that phrase later, but that's classic. Pierre Poilievre, conservative from Canada. We'll get to that later. But so, Mike, in Gaza, here we are weeks now into this conflict, right, after really an unprovoked attack by Hamas.
Yep.
And, It's interesting because on the left, there's calls for peace and how many more people have to die? Well, so the insinuation is there shouldn't really be a repercussion. Yep. Like turn the other cheek, right? Just sort of look away. Lots of people, innocent people, viciously killed, savagery in that area, and you're supposed to just look the other way and now focus your attention on Palestinian oppression and the oppression that they feel everywhere, not just there, but everywhere across the world. I mean, how is it that we got there where everybody can't say, we've got to find these guys, like, we've got to eliminate that group, because it doesn't help the Israelis, of course, to have them right on their doorstep, firing rockets pretty much every day, nonstop, and this was in good times, and it certainly doesn't help Palestinians who really do want to just simply live in peace and maybe practice not the extreme Muslim religion, but just the basic Muslim religion of good people.
Well, I said this to my wife last night while I was watching the Sabres game. I'm not really sure why this is a thing, Mike. Like, why are we sympathizing with terrorists? What is the objective behind that? Right? Like nobody on, at least in my inner circles, like, oh, innocent Palestinians. What's their problem? No, we're all like, we feel bad for them. Right. Of course you feel bad right. for innocent Palestinian people.
Right.
Just like I feel bad for innocent Israeli people. But then the left comes up with this narrative like, well, you don't understand what Hamas did to the Israelis is what the Israelis is doing are doing to Palestinians. I'm like, yeah, I don't think they're just going to concerts and shooting them up. We'd probably hear about that if that was good. I don't think they're just beheading and burning kids alive. I think we'd hear about that if that's what they were doing.
Right.
I'm really kind of baffled by it. And you know, like I said, I was talking to my wife because I'm like, I don't know what to say anymore. I keep seeing this. I put a post out on Twitter last night about. I'm just looking for some of the comments, Mike, because it was outrageous hearing some of these people. There was this video of this woman that pretends to shoot her kids in the head, and then the kids like fall over like they got shot. And some of the comments I was getting, and by the way, there's flags of like Israel and America are the two being shot, and then Palestinian flag is the one shooting them. But, you know, some of these are like, let's see, this is acting. Israel is actually doing this live. Another one says, hold on, there was another one that said, like, imagine if this wasn't happening already. I'm like, where is this happening? Can somebody give me, these are the Palestinian civilians we keep hearing about. Like, where does this fake news come from, right? Like, again, if Israel is defending its borders, then, yes, innocent people may die. And it's sad, but it's what will happen. But, like, this is not just happening in, like, modern-day Israel where they're just, like, or Gaza where Israeli soldiers are just walking in and shooting people in the head. That's not what's happening. It's a lie.
It is a lie, and more and more people listen to it when they hear Rashida Tlaib deny that, you know, even with evidence from U.S. intelligence, Israeli intelligence, that bombing that they say hit a hospital, it actually hit a parking lot. We don't know how many people even died. And when she comes out and keeps denying that, it could be, you know, other terrorists on the northern end of Israel. That's what proliferates this, right? It makes it worse and worse and worse, and then people gather. And this is their game plan, right? I mean, and that's the shame of it. So many people seem to fall for this false narrative. Like, who are the real bad guys here, right? And that's the real distressing part to me. It's like you can almost not even keep up anymore with who are the real bad guys here. And I can't believe that we all can't agree that Hamas is bad. I mean, the Hamas and likely it seems like everyone claims Iran backs these groups, right? Hamas, Hezbollah, all these other jihadist type terrorist groups, they back them. Then you get, you know, probably tons and tons worth of concrete and all sorts of stuff to build the infrastructure for Palestinians in Gaza. And what happens? Hamas steals it all. They basically build this massive web of tunnels underneath Gaza to basically protect themselves as they try to wipe off every Jew in Israel and then, you know, again, everywhere in the universe. So it's just I can't believe that we can't all agree that that's bad. And even the Omars and the Talibs, I cannot believe they cannot say they are making this all look really bad. We've got to get rid of them so we can actually get support for the people, the Palestinians that we actually love and should support.
Well, this may blow up in their face at some point, and I would bet that it will. And I'm talking about Talib and Omar and AOC. Mm-hmm. I would assume at some point you're going to get the majority of Americans that are like, wait a minute. Okay, now the data's out there, right? Now, I'm stopping myself because we still have that with COVID where the data's out there, yet these knuckleheads continue to tell us that, you know, COVID's the enemy. But, you know, that like, you know, everyone's dying at like 50% rates. But you would think this is a little bit different, right? This is terrorism now. You would think that most Americans, you know, you have your subset of college kids and all that garbage, but most Americans are going to say to themselves, wait a minute, this is gross. This is repulsive. We have people over there, you know, blindly killing people for no reason, like at that music festival again. And, you know, at the, you know, in their homes in these bomb shelters, they've been just, there's been reports of them in bomb shelters, Mike, knowing people are in there and dropping grenades in a bomb shelter. I mean, you're sick, right?
Yeah.
So you would think that this will blow up in AOC's face and in Tlaib's face because the evidence is becoming more, you know, relevant and it's out there. It's right in your face. But I don't know, Mike. I don't know what's going to happen, how America fixes this problem of politicians that actually hate America. And that's what I think those three or the squad of five, whatever it is, they actually hate America. And that, to me, is a bigger problem than anything. We have people running this country and running districts in this country that actually don't like the country and don't want to be here, it seems.
Yeah, I think part of the problem is they're during their political campaigns, Mike, their POSs kind of wrapped up in Snickers bars, you know, like people are like, oh, wow, she's got energy.
Yeah.
Oh, she, look at her. Oh, isn't this great? A young person, oh, coming out into politics. And then they get in and you find out exactly what they are. They're unintelligent. They have completely just simply their own agenda.
Yep.
And then you find out they're actually un-American. they've actually successfully infiltrated our political system to now basically follow their agenda. And now it seems like extremists' agenda. Let's talk a little bit about...
Sorry, Mike. Why would you... I mean, short of the answer is probably they want to kill America. But why would you want to be a politician with the idea that, yeah, I actually hate this country? Right. And again, it's not like they hate the country. Like you and I are mad about how the country's being run, but we love America and we want it back to the way it should be run. These people actually hate the country and hate everything about America and what America stands for. So why would you run for politics? To try and ruin it? Because my suggestion would be just get the hell out. That would be the easier solution. Well, you know what, Rashida Tlaib, I have an idea. Why don't you go run for office in Gaza? Why don't you do that? Right. How about you take your talents over there and see how it goes? Right. And these people that write out there, Mike, you know, gays and trans for Palestine, like do your homework, folks. That's not OK over there. Right. And I'm not saying I'm not OK with it. I'm just saying this idea that like, oh, we need to be over there. Over there is better. Well, you're not allowed over there. Just so you know, if you did your homework, you're not like who's going to tell these people they don't want you over there. That's how their beliefs are. Right. Mm-hmm. So you should love America because America allows a lot of things and America supports a lot of things that the rest of the world doesn't. So do your homework and think about that.
Yeah. So just to answer your question, why would they want to do that here and get into Congress? Well, they can enrich themselves. If they do get voted out of office, then they can become a CNN or an MSNBC contributor. They might even get shows on those networks. So that might be part of it, you know, enrich themselves. Then they can just kind of slip off into the sunset like some of the Black Lives Matters leaders who just go buy multi-million-dollar homes and they just pillage everything around them that they got and leave everybody to their own defenses yet again. So, I mean, you know, there are some benefits, Mike, if you really think hard about it, right? I mean, just follow the playbook, right? Get elected and become wealthy.
Yeah.
And have unlimited power, essentially, and get nothing done. You don't have to really be smart, so you just have to get elected. Yeah. There's no intelligence required and obviously no morality required anymore.
Yeah.
How about I wondered if there is any light at the end of this GOP tunnel, Mike. Still no speaker. They've gone through some of the more prominent names now, right? I mean, just going backwards, Jordan, Scalise, McCarthy. Now they're getting into sort of tier two names. I think, I don't know all of them, Emmers, Donalds, we like Byron Donalds. Do you think any of them are going to have, I guess, either, you can look at it like this, all the check marks that are needed to actually win the Speaker of the House job, or will they all lack certain check boxes to actually do so? And how long can this actually go on? Because, I mean, there's some significant issues going on. I'm sure that we're going to hear about another debt ceiling crisis coming. We're going to have to fund the government again soon, right? I mean, that always comes back. And we've got all sorts of wars breaking out every which way. We've got the open border. And we actually have a presidential election just around the corner, right? Heating up in 2024. So, I mean, what is your... I mean, if you're dazed, you know, dazed and kind of just drifting off and you think, I have this vision of what's going to happen. What's that vision?
I don't have one.
It's dark. It's dark in there.
I honestly don't know how this speakership ends. Like, I almost think the most likely outcome is that Kevin McCarthy gets it again, honestly, because I don't know that they're going to get on the Byron Donalds train. Apparently, this Emmer guy is not fully supported by many. I don't know, Mike. And the fact that we're 3 weeks in, like, I know it sounds ridiculous, like, will we ever get one again? But I don't know what happens here. I really don't see a path. I thought Jim Jordan was probably the answer, would have gotten a path forward. I don't know who it is. And I'm not trying to be funny or like dodge the question. I really don't know.
There was a movement that just came to mind back in the mid 1850s, the Know Nothing movement. And now I'm starting to think the GOP movement might just simply be the Do Nothings, right? I mean, it's really a shame because they do win the House. And we said, thank goodness, man, they've got the presidency, they've got the Senate. At least some common sense will reside in the House, and there seemingly isn't any. They can't even get to the point of saying, listen, we don't agree with everything Kevin McCarthy is all about, or Steve Scalise, or Jim Jordan, but that's still far better than is it Mr. Jeffries? Is it, who's the Democrat?
Hakeem Jeffries, yep.
Hakeem Jeffries. So it's still better than that because that's what they'd have likely gotten, or more Nancy, right?
Yeah.
Would Nancy have been? So they have to think, well, whatever we've got, it's still far better than letting the left control everything and have, you know, the majority in committees and all that stuff. But they just can't, they can't even do that. Like, it's really pathetic, to be honest. And it really makes me wonder what's going to happen in 2024 when a lot of seats, I think every seat is up, and there's a whole bunch that are kind of, they always say, which ones are like sure left, which ones are sure right, which ones are kind of up for grabs. I don't know, man. I mean, if anyone was leaning toward trying to get another GOP member into the House, like, what are they going to do now? I mean, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, I mean, an election season, Mike, is about 53 weeks away. So we're right, you know, at about a year. So I would hope that America and Republicans and conservatives in America get their heads out of their asses between now and 53 weeks from today. I have my doubts. I do.
I mean, they're just squandering this opportunity,
yep,
right?
Yep.
It's like you won and you're doing nothing. So they're going to become the GOP, the do nothings. Hey, let's go to Washington, D.C. here, or stay in Washington, D.C. Title of this, Mike, Democratic mayor, and her name is Muriel Bowser of Washington,
yeah,
D.C.
Oh, yeah.
Flips on post-George Floyd police reforms as crime skyrockets in nation's capital. They now need to bolster the police, Mike. I mean, is there anything even less shocking than this?
Social workers couldn't get it done?
I know.
Shocking.
Can't figure it out.
And that's not a knock on social workers. It's just when you try and fight criminals with your bare hands, it doesn't work very well, right? I mean, you kind of need your guns. You need your tasers. You need your handcuffs. You know, that kind of stuff is important when you apprehend a criminal or try to.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's the least shocking thing ever. The defund the police movement is the single dumbest movement that maybe America's ever had. The open border one might be challenging it for the worst policy ever. You know, open borders and defunding police are, and by the way, open borders and defunding police right around the same era might be the worst of the worst as a combination, right? Because now you're trying to defend, you know, your country with no, you know, guns and no tasers and whatnot. So bad idea. But it's the least shocking outcome of all time. I mean, we could have, again, I keep saying this, Mike, all the time, like, you could pay me $0 to give this advice. I'll do it for free for Kathy Hochul, for Joe Biden, anybody. Do you think, Mike, do you think we should defund police? No, that's a terrible idea. Mike, do you think we should keep our border open? Nope, bad idea. Let's not do that.
Pretty simple. Yeah that was a pretty quick and simple answers. I know as a teacher years ago, and as my wife teaches, you know, when you're dealing with children, you might use this strategy called feel, felt, found. So child is very upset, just, you know, doesn't want to cooperate, has all sorts of angst and anxiety. And that might be the strategy of, hey, listen, let's just go sit down for a second, just you and I. All right, I know how you feel. I have felt this way before. And what I found is, and then you lay out a nice little strategy for getting over it. Sorry, that just doesn't work when you're talking about thieves, criminals with guns, and tables full of drugs, and maybe even some doing crack at that moment. You don't walk in and say, hey, everybody, I know how you feel. A lot of unsettled feelings here, maybe things to reconcile from your childhood. What I've felt is similar to you, and what I found is if you just let me gather all your guns and your drugs and just let me take you down to the precinct, we just got to do this, okay? I think this will work. Like, I don't think you get past step one with these people. I think you're lying on the floor, a bloody mess, before you get anywhere close to that.
Yeah, they'd say this, Mike. Hey, Mike. That's what they'd say to you. That's what they'd say to you. Hey, Mike, okay, see you later. Yeah, we'll take our guns and drugs over here. Yeah.
I mean, honestly, that's really what they believe would work.
Yeah.
And now they're calling for more police. And forget that reform. I think I misjudged. I miscalculated. We need more police now.
Yeah, that was a bad idea. Oops, sorry about that. Let's do this. Oh, and by the way, while that bad idea was a bad idea, I've been carrying around my private security since then. So you guys, you idiots on the street, you don't get these people. I will just take them in my camp. No big deal. I'll have them walk me around town and, you know, with their guns and I'll be protected. Great. Okay, good.
Yeah. Well, so north of the border, what do we think of Canada? I mean, I know some people up in Canada, love them dearly. I think there's some really good people up in Canada, but just politically speaking, what comes to mind when you think of Canada? I mean, first thing.
Trudeau.
Right, but, me too. Yeah. And so you think, okay, does he actually do anything in Canada, or is he just sort of parading around with the other, you know, I guess, climate change warriors and, you know, we've got to rethink and re-engineer and, you know what I mean, like big world picture type of guy. And then I always, I actually think of others then that I see online where they're actually just bashing him. You know, that nobody seems to really appreciate him or respect him. Well, there is a guy on the conservative side named Pierre Poilievre, and I know you and I hosted the radio show on Saturday. If people didn't get a chance to hear him, I want to replay some of this because I thought this was comical, but really, really effective in dealing with a reporter. I think Urquhart is the last name of this journalist, but it doesn't matter. The journalist tries to question Mr. Poilievre, and I think like many journalists, they've gotten very lazy, right? They don't really come to the table with any facts, nothing significant, no substance. Yeah. They don't feel they need to. I think that's really the pathetic thing. They come to an encounter with a guy like him, and he's chomping on an apple, just all casual. You know, he knows who he is. He knows what he believes, right? And he has confidence in himself. The journalist, not so much. The journalist just figures, oh, wow, I've got a great opportunity. I'll probably look really good in these journalist circles. And, oh, I'll probably get all sorts of kudos online. I might even get some nice text to say, wow, you really handled Mr. Poilievre well today. Congratulations. Let's have a cocktail later, right? That's what he's expecting. And it really doesn't work out that way. And I think it's just humorous. But it's such a great example of how conservatives have to behave, what they have to do to basically combat the media that is completely against them, right? There's just no question. So I'm going to go right to a spot here, Mike, where I think this made some of the news. Let me go ahead and turn this on, and I'll stop it, and you can comment.
Topic. I mean, in terms of your sort of strategy currently, you're obviously taking the populist pathway. What does that mean?
So he starts with the populist. Who's been connected to populism, Mike?
It's amazing.
Right here in our country,
it's amazing, too, the first comment. What does that mean?
What does that mean? He doesn't let him just get away with it. Yeah. We know what you're trying to do. You're going to paint me as some lunatic, like a Trump up here in the North.
Yeah.
No, no, no. This guy, I think he said, no, this ain't going the way this guy thinks it's going to go this time.
Yep.
You know, here we go.
Well, appealing to people's more emotional levels, I would guess. I mean, certainly you.
Populism? What do you mean? Emotional levels? Appealing to their emotions? What do you mean?
Certainly you tap very strong ideological language quite frequently.
Like what?
He doesn't let him get away with anything. Populism? I'm going through these. Populism? Appeal to emotions? And now he's talking about, oh, what was that now? Hang on. This is great.
More emotional levels, I would guess. I mean, certainly you tap very strong ideological language.
Ideological language, Mike. All these things mean nothing. There's nothing behind any of it.
And for those listening, just when you hear him question the guy back, there is never an answer, not once.
Like, there's never an answer.
Not once. Doesn't even try to explain it like, oh, well, you know, the one time he goes, I think your kid's going to come up, he's like, well, they say this. And he's like, who?
You got to hear more, folks.
Which quite frequently.
Like what?
Left wing, you know, this and that, right wing, you know, I mean,
this and that
type of ideological thing.
I never really talk about left
but
or right.
Anyways,
I don't really believe in that.
Okay. A lot of people would say that you're simply taking a page out of the Donald Trump.
There it is. Why didn't he just come out and say it? You're trying to be the Donald Trump of the North. You know, just cut to the chase, right? Don't talk about ideological and populism and all that, right? Just cut to the chase. Yeah. You want him to be hated like everyone hates Trump down here.
Set the stage.
Like which people would say that?
Well, I'm sure a great many Canadians, but
like who?
He just doesn't let him off the hook. This is classic. This is one of the best interviews I've ever heard.
I actually can't believe the reporter didn't cut it because you have to. He just kept going and feeding into it. Like, well, great many. Like who? Well, you know. Okay, next question. I mean, I've never seen it in my life like this. You just get beat up.
It's beautiful. He's eating him up just like he's eating his own apple.
I don't know who, but...
Well, you're the one who asked the question, so you must know somebody.
Okay. I'm sure there's some out there, but anyways, the point of this question is, I mean, why should Canadians trust you with their vote, given, you know, not just the sort of ideological inclination in terms of taking the page of Donald Trump's book, but also...
What are you
also,
talking about? What page?
He just will not let it go. And I just absolutely love this guy. I got to find more stuff out there on him. We're going to stop this in just one moment, but I think it gets right to the crux of what I think we talk about a lot, Mike. So we'll keep playing this until we get to that.
Can you give me the page? You keep saying
in terms of turning things quite dramatically in terms of Trudeau and the left wing and all of this. I mean, you make quite a, you know, it's quite a play that you make on it. So I'm not sure.
I don't know. What your question is.
Then forget that. Why should Canadians trust you with their vote?
Common sense. Okay. Common sense for a change. We're going to make common sense common in this country. We don't.
I love that. I mean, it's not over at that point, but boy, he just hits it right on the head. It's not about left. It's not about right. It's not about ideology. It's not about populism. Please don't talk about Trump. I'm up here in Canada. He's down in the U.S. It's common sense, simply common sense. I mean, beautiful, beautiful thing.
And somebody needs to answer this question on the left, I think, at some point. What is it that you hate about people like this guy and like Trump and like people that aren't afraid of you? Why do you hate them? Right? The answer is simple, because they're not afraid of you and they won't be told how to speak, what to do, what to say. That's what it comes down to, right? And that's where, you know, this radio program or podcast, but you need more people that are just not afraid to speak their mind, Mike. I mean, we're going to tell it how it is, whether we agree with something or not. We're going to tell it how it is. And Mike and Glenn have done that. You know, the Tucker Carlsons of the world have done that. We mm-hmm. need more of that, because we shouldn't just listen and say what they tell us to listen and say, right? Like, you listen to this and you say this. No, I'm going to have my own opinion because I'm a big boy and I can do that. That's the problem. When you look at a reporter like this, he wants to tell this guy, well, you should be like this, and the populism, and then, you know, you're not being nice and fair. And then, no. And that guy wasn't disrespectful, by the way, right?
No.
He was not being disrespectful. Mm-hmm. He was just like, tell me where you get these beliefs from.
Right. And then maybe we can talk about
yeah.
it. Maybe we could actually break that down a little
yeah.
bit, like adults, like yeah. like people who actually solve problems.
Right.
Totally agree. So, folks, if you want to find more of this, there's about an 8-minute interview out there online. P-O-I-L-I-E-V-R-E. Polyev is how you say it, but certainly doesn't look like that when you see the spelling. French of origin, I would imagine. P-O-I-L-I-E-V-R-E. Pierre Polyev. So just classic interview. I had to play a little more of that and have more comments than we had on our show. Folks, I think we'll leave it right there. You know, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday podcast, Monday, Wednesday, Friday morning mics, 8:15 to 8:30, 5 topics, 3 minutes each. Mike, anything else to finish up today?
Yeah, I would say one thing for people out there. Do some homework on some of these issues too, right? Like you said, this Pierre guy, Mike, but like mm-hmm. this Hamas Gaza Israel thing, just do some homework, right? These kids on college campuses, I can't stand to watch you guys walk around with your signs and your chants anymore. Just do some homework on the situation before pretending mm-hmm. you're an expert about it and then prancing around college campuses and in the cities and doing this stuff. Because again, you know, when you look at some of the signs people are holding and some of the beliefs they think they have, they don't line up with what's actually going on over there. What's allowed, mm-hmm. I should say, over there. So just do your homework before you go out there and pretend like you're an expert and you're going to rah-rah chant for everything. That would be my one piece of advice today.
I love it. Break from the herd. Go do a little research. Yeah. If you're on a college campus, it won't be hard. Yeah. Find the library.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
go ahead and find some actual literature, some facts, some figures, and actually then form your own opinion. Don't just follow all the other people that are screaming when you don't know what the hell they're even screaming about.
There's actually this new technology, Mike, called Google, too, and you can type things into it and look things up, too. So
let me write this
yeah,
down.
So I know this is crazy for people, but if you want to, just go to google.com, and you'll find a lot of different things. If you want to search topics and get information on it. Yeah.
Awesome. We're going to leave it right there, folks. For Mike Hayflick, for you, Mike Hayflick, for you, Mike Spiraza, I am Mike Hayflick. And folks, we love doing these podcasts. You've got to tune in, though, again, every Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday, Wednesday, Fridays, 8:15 to 8:30. So we will be back Wednesday for Morning Mike's 8:15 live, 5 topics, 3 minutes each. You don't want to miss it. Everything we do, you can find at financialguysmedia.com. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys LLC is strictly prohibited.